It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district, what on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Well, hello, Colorado, and indeed, let's have a conversation. This is Bradley Beck. I'm sitting in, and I'm honored to do so, for Kim Munson, who's traveling. And she gave me a call and said, Brad, would you come in? And always I say yes, because it's a privilege to be here and sit in the big kid seat and not just be a guest, but be the guest host. So let's have a conversation. Today, thank you for listening. Each of you are valued. You're treasured. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this moment. And I'd like to have a shout out and say thank you to all the great folks that work here at this station. And to producer Joe, always lets me in with a smile. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Brian. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing unbelievable. As we were walking in this morning, I was telling you I just flew in from a little bit of warmer climate down in Phoenix, although it wasn't as warm as it normally is. It was probably in the low 70s, so I wasn't as prepared as I thought it would be for the desert. But then I came here, and of course, it does what it does. It snowed when I landed, so welcome to Colorado.
Right. I can never guess what's happening here, but 70 sounds amazing.
Yeah, it was nice, and of course, the people are nice there, and lots of good scenery, but I was there on business, so mostly working, and always good to be back here in Colorado. And I want to just thank Kim for this opportunity. You know, you can always check out who's going to be on the Kim Munson Show by going to our website, and that is Kim Munson, MONSON.com. And there you can sign up for her weekly email newsletter and get the first look at all the upcoming guests, as well as the most recent essays. And I just submitted one for next week when I come back, and I'm one of the guest of the program, and always like to do that. I always like to listen to different people's perspectives with their essays and their ideas, and just kind of get a take from a different person who's on here all the time. I know Alan Thomas is on, and Susan Kochevar, and many others. So it's always good to get those perspectives. And you can always email Kim at kim@kimmunson.com. And we always want to thank our great sponsors, the Harris family, for their gold sponsorship of this show. And thank you to Hooters Restaurants. They always have great specials and wings. There's five locations here in Colorado. There's Loveland, Aurora, Lone Tree, Westminster, and down in Colorado Springs. They have great lunch specials Monday through Friday to dine in or to go. And on Wednesdays is Wings Day. You can take off with some great 20 wing specials and get an additional 10 for free for dine-in or for taking out. It's a great place to get together and watch your favorite teams, and especially those who like the March Madness and all the sporting events that are going on. Last night I caught a little bit of the St. Louis Blues and their 11th straight hockey victory, so that was good to see. A little bit of good news for the Midwest when they're going through all these storms and tornadoes, and our thoughts go to all those folks, I guess, for the next 3 days. Joe, they're going to be hitting some pretty crazy weather there. So big wins, and we hope the St. Louis Blues give them a little hope in that part of the country.
It sounds like they might.
Yeah, it's a good series. So I always like to start off with the word of the day, because it gets us going, thinking about how to use our language, and not enough opportunity to do that when we get in our day-to-day activities. So here's one that I thought was interesting, and it's alacrity, and it's spelled A-L-A-C-R-I-T-Y. It's a noun, and it's a cheerful willingness or eagerness, and alacrity derives from the Latin alacer, and it means lively or to be eager. And in a sentence, it's used in the following way. He invited us all to visit, and we agreed with alacrity. So use that word, and you'll get brownie points, Joe. I always like try to use a word of the day, and it gets me thinking and looking up other words around it, and love our English language, because sometimes it doesn't make sense, other times it does, but we got to expand our ability to communicate with people.
And it's an ever-changing language, too. There's so many oddities that keep happening. It's
exactly
interesting.
Yeah. Especially when you start thinking about learning the ancient languages that make our words today, you know, the Latin, the Greek, the Hebrew. It's all part of just learning and communicating with people. So use the word alacrity today. On this day in history, in 1789, first U.S. Congress begins their regular sessions, and George Washington, of course, was president. Most people don't know, of course, that that happened in New York City at Federal Hall, and that ended in 1791 when the Capitol was moved down to Washington, D.C. At that time, of course, it was just a big swamp, but over time they built it up. In 1862 was the Peninsula Campaign in the U.S. Civil War. Started in this particular campaign happened in southeastern Virginia, and it was basically targeting the Richmond area, which was the hub of the Confederacy at the time. 1862 was the Siege of Yorktown, and that was also a big battle that happened, and part of the Civil War. I love Civil War history. But going to civil rights in 1968, and I remember this when I was a kid, activists and one of the greatest leaders we've ever had, Martin Luther King Jr., was assassinated by James Earl Ray at the Lorraine Hotel in Memphis, Tennessee. And I remember that time. I was young, but I remember the news headlines, and everything was in black and white back then. We didn't have color TV, and it was a pretty impactful time. John Kennedy had been shot. Robert Kennedy had not at that point, but it was a pretty impactful situation in America. And I have since been to King Center down in Atlanta. And if you have the chance to go down there, you should. It's an incredible opportunity to see our history. In 1974, Hank Aaron tied Babe Ruth's home run record by hitting his 714th in Cincinnati facing Jack Billingham. And that's appropriate today because it's opening day at Coors Field. And, of course, it doesn't feel like opening day, but Colorado, having the weather it does, sometimes you have to start in the snow and end in the snow. But all those who are going out to the game today, wish them good luck. Bundle up. It will be a cold start, but always a great opportunity to get the season kicked off and have another year of beverages at the stands and the hot dog, and watch our great Rockies hopefully at least get to 500 this year, so that would be good. But it's always an opportunity, a fun time to go out there. I wanted to do a bill of the day, and there's something interesting happening down the Capitol. Of course, that's where the sausage is made, and there's always something interesting down there. But I was reading they have a bill, HB 25-1005, and this is a tax incentive for film festivals, and it's concerning the creation of tax incentives to support the film industry. And at first glance, you'd say, okay, why would the legislature want to attract a film festival? Well, the Sundance Festival, of course, is coming to Boulder in, I think, another one year next year from Utah, and this was an incentive to draw them here. But my question to our legislature is, why are we picking winners and losers? And they'll say, well, you have to, you know, invest a little money to bring people here. But the question comes up is, why is the film industry any more special or less special than any other industry that we want to bring here, whether it's AI or it's technology? But then the small businessman and the taxpayers end up funding this this opportunity for a specific group of people, a specific industry. And so I'd always ask, why is it we're picking winners and losers in our legislature? And it's always important to think about these things. Yes, it will bring in lots of money, but at whose expense? And it's all you, the dear listeners, who are footing the bill ultimately for things like this happening in our area. And it's important to push back on it because, yeah, we want to have growth, but is it the proper role of government to provide those types of tax incentives to bring people here? And we have a great state. There's a lot of resources and talent here, and we always want people to be here to do their businesses. But the bigger problem is that you have people that are doing it at the expense of others. And anytime that happens, this collective bringing together an industry and spending money to invest here is against what I would say the free market is all about. So it really applies to all industries. I don't think that one industry over another should get any other accommodation. So that's HB 25-1005, and that's during the regular session. I think they're up to probably close to 500 different pieces of legislation that have passed this session, and that's just unbelievable. Do we really need that many new laws? In fact, I would challenge anybody to know half of them, maybe even 10 of them. I couldn't tell you half of them, although we will be talking about in the second hour gun bills that are coming up, and really going to impact our ability to defend ourselves. It was interesting when I came home last night from Phoenix, flew in, I was sitting next to a lady who was visiting from Australia, very nice lady. And one of the things that was on her mind was, you know, all the guns that we Americans have. And we started talking. She was looking at the book I was reading, The Indispensable Right by Jonathan Turley. And it's a great book about free speech during the age of rage, which there has always been rage in our American history and American politics. But in particular, it's been ratcheting up for many, many years. And she was interested in that title. And she says, is that the one about the guns? I said, no, that's the Second Amendment. The Second Amendment helps protect the first, our free speech. But throughout history, we have, and especially in this country, a misconception of what free speech is. So this book happens to go through all of that history, and it's fascinating. But she was just aghast that I was pro-Second Amendment and was not sure how to deal with it. She said, of course, you know, in our country, they took away all our guns. And I said, yeah, how was that for you folks in Australia during the Wuhan experience, the COVID-19 experience? And she said, well, yeah, you're right. There were a lot of freedoms that were taken away from us. And I said, well, that's why we have the Second Amendment. It's not for hunting. It's to protect ourselves from our government. And she looked at me with a look on her face that really it told it all. She was not of our culture to even think about that. So I really find it interesting that people have a different perspective all around the world. And it's always fun to have the opportunity to talk to people who have a different mindset. And it's important that we do listen to people with different perspectives, because so often we're so set in our silos. Well, so we have some folks that are going to be coming here and talking with us in a little bit, and we've got some call-ins. But before we do that, I'd like to talk about All Through Kim's work with veterans. She's honored to highlight the USMC Memorial Foundation and all that they're going to do to raise money to remodel the official USMC Memorial, which is located right here in Golden, Colorado at 6th and Colfax. And Paula Saris is the president of the foundation. She is a Marine veteran and a Gold Star wife. And Paula and her team are working diligently to bring that remodel to reality. And you can help by donating to the USMCMemorialFoundation.org. That's USMCMemorialFoundation.org. Great opportunity for you to invest in a worthwhile cause. So this show comes to you because we have great sponsors, and one of those great sponsors is Roger Mangan and the State Farm Insurance Team.
Car thefts, hailstorms, and uninsured motorists are presenting unique insurance challenges for everyday hardworking Coloradans. The Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team knows that when you need to make an insurance claim, financial strength matters. State Farm consistently receives high marks for the company's financial condition and ability to pay claims. for that peace of mind to know that you are working with a financially strong company, contact the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855 for a complimentary appointment to assess your insurance coverage. That's 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Have you ever wondered how safe we are? Our speakers, Maria Sumnick, New York City Cyber Command Architect, and John Spence, Colorado Director of the Task Force on Homeland Security, will provide insights into foreign and weather threats facing America's infrastructure and strategies to protect us. Join us on Saturday, April 12th at the Old Spaghetti Factory in Westminster from 11:30 to 1:30. Tickets are available at JeffcoRepublicanWomen.com. The luncheon is open to anyone.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at KimMunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields. So they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at KimMunson.com.
It's finally Friday. I'm free again. It is Friday. Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. She is out traveling. I am Bradley Beck, and I am very glad to be here with producer Joe behind the glass, and we're having a fun morning. And we always like you to remember to sign up for Kim's weekly e-newsletter that you can get in your inbox with all the guests and the guest host, and you'll get the first look at everybody who's written essays, and we look forward to getting feedback from those. You can always do that at kim@kimmunson.com. And thank you for contributing to our support of independent voices and exercising our right to freedom of speech. You know, if it's right, you shouldn't have to force anybody to do anything. So we believe in that, and we're thankful that you do as well. And thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the Kim Munson Show. And something that you should put on your bucket list, to visit the Center for American Values located on the beautiful Riverwalk down in Pueblo, Colorado. The Center for American Values was co-founded by Medal of Honor recipient Drew Dix and Emmy Award-winning documentary maker Brad Padula. The center is focused on honoring our Medal of Honor recipients and teaching and upholding the principles of America, which are honor, integrity, and patriotism. For more information, check out their website at AmericanValueCenter.org. And it's a great place to go and learn more about our great Medal of Honor recipients. On the line with us right now, we have Dr. Travis Morrell, who I've had the opportunity to interact with many times. And he's got a particular event happening with the Colorado Parents Advocacy Network, CPAN. And good morning, Travis. How you doing?
Good morning, Brad. It's always good to talk to you.
Good to hear your voice. And things are happening this weekend that are important, and you have a guest, Dr. Lior Sapir, who's going to be one of your featured guests at the CPAN event this weekend.
Thanks, Brad. Yes, so local parents, CPAN and local doctors have invited Lior Sapir, who's a PhD, to speak with other experts here on Sunday, April 6th at 2:30. What's called the Rocky Mountain Summit on Safeguarding Children from Gender-Affirming Treatment. You may know Lior Sapir. He's broken the story when prestigious American Society of Plastic Surgery came out saying what everybody else knows. There's considerable uncertainty as to the long-term effects of pediatric gender care. He's broken other stories and important data, and there's nobody better qualified to help our listeners on Sunday and today know the answers to the questions that they're asking about gender-affirming treatments on kids. We all want to know, how did medicine start pushing unproven gender treatments on underage kids, and then now they've doubled down as Europe goes the other direction, and even though American plastic surgeons go the other direction, Colorado is still advertising mastectomies on healthy girls at 15 and 16. And Lior is a great guy, very well-spoken, humble, and extremely smart, and he's going to be really interesting to listen to Sunday in Denver at 2:30.
Well, why don't we bring him on, Dr. Lior Saper. You're a fellow at the Manhattan Institute for Policy and Research, and you're an expert in this topic, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show.
Thanks for having me on, Bradley, and thanks, Travis, for those very nice words.
I have seen many of your videos, and they're just fascinating, and you have a background in American policy and have done a lot of research into this field. And it's amazing to me that this is such a prevalent thing happening in such a short period of time in the pantheon of our history. And I'm just curious, how did this come about so quickly, this whole idea of gender ideology?
Well, gender ideology has been metastasizing for decades in, you know, academic circles and also to some extent within medicine. But if you're asking about specifically so-called gender-affirming care, which is the use of puberty blockers, cross-sex hormones, and surgeries to treat adolescents who experience distress about their body, their developing body, that's about 15 years old here in the United States and only about 20, 25 years old worldwide. And here in the United States, it was really brought about through a small number of medical association committees that were convened, for this purpose, related purposes, and issued recommendations that were far outside what the scientific evidence supported at the time and still supports now. And it became a civil rights cause.
Well, it's amazing to me that it's come to, almost like a pimple, if you will. It's been popped, and it's all over the place now. And I know it's a bad analogy, but it's the only one I could think of at the time. But, you know, it's amazing to me that we're having to deal with this now. I have a friend who's actually one of the panelists on the Family Impact Panel, Erin Lee, and her story is amazing. And what her daughter had to go through in this whole gender ideology in schools and how they're really pushing it through the public education system.
That's right. Yes, Erin's story is really incredible. And she's an incredible person and very well worth listening to because, her story is not only compelling, but it also mirrors what many parents across the country are experiencing. And unfortunately, schools, not just public, but private as well, across the nation, have adopted policies, practices, procedures that not only perform social gender transition on children on demand, but very often keep that information from parents unless the child gives express permission to bring the parents into the decision. And that is also a practice that has been found to be not only without, but also actually against existing evidence for what's safe and appropriate for children. And other countries are moving away from it. A good example being the UK, where the recent CAS review, which is a 400-page report on youth gender transition, explicitly recognized social transition as an active psychological intervention with the potential to lock in these experiences of gender distress.
Well, Lior and Travis, we appreciate you sharing this information. Where can people get more information and plan on being there with these panels and this information and the scientific, ethical, and legal concerns surrounding this gender-affirming treatment?
Brad, your listeners could join us by just going to coloradoparents.org and clicking on the events page. That's coloradoparents.org, and this will be Sunday, April 6th in Denver at 2:30.
And there'll be a whole day of information and really understanding the medical risks and the ethical concerns. Lior, how would you like to wrap this up and entice people to come down and see your presentation and the other panelists?
Well, it's a great lineup, and I think it's going to be an extremely interesting event, not just for those who know very little about the subject, but even for those who know quite a bit about the subject. There's a great deal more to learn, and I highly recommend, if not coming in person, then at least buying tickets and tuning in online.
And it's important for grandparents as well, because I think grandparents need to get involved in this. I know there's several organizations out. I know Grandparents for Kids is a great organization, and they have a lot of influence over their grandchildren. And I think whether you're a parent or a grandparent or just a concerned citizen, this is the second Rocky Mountain Summit. This is part two, Safeguarding Children from Gender-Affirming Care and Treatment. And it gives you clinical perspectives and family impacts. And I think it's an important subject that we need to know more about. Travis, would you? What are your last thoughts?
Thanks so much, Brad. This lineup is just outstanding. We're extremely gratified, grateful that Colorado can host people like Lior Sapir, child psychiatrist Dr. Miriam Grossman, people have seen in books and movies, Denver pediatrician Michelle Stanford, parent January Littlejohn, a whistleblower Jamie Reed, and just like Lior said, whether you're new to this or an expert, I think you're going to learn something and meet some really interesting people. And that's how change occurs, through meeting people and learning and making connections. I believe in the people connection element. So please join us, coloradoparents.org, Sunday at 2:30.
And all the good folks, Lori Gimmelstein and the good folks at CPAN are doing great work, and we appreciate all their efforts. And we appreciate you coming on today, sharing a little bit about this great activity that's going to be happening on this weekend. So thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, Lior.
And we'll be right back after this moment.
Award-winning realtor Karen Levine with RE/MAX Alliance understands the importance of home ownership. Karen Levine works diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect your private property rights. With over 30 years' experience as a Colorado realtor, Karen Levine will help you navigate the complicated metro real estate market, whether you are buying your home, selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment properties. Kim Monson highly recommends Karen Levine. Call Karen Levine at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516 for answers to all your real estate needs.
A serious accident or a life-changing injury can leave you with seemingly insurmountable physical, emotional, and financial challenges. How will you be able to afford your medical bills? What if you can't return to work? The attorneys at Bozen Law understand the immense stress you are under and want to help. Bozen Law's attorneys have decades of experience helping people like you navigate some of the most difficult times in their lives. Bozen Law can provide the guidance and support you need to get back on your feet. Call Bozen Law now at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary appointment. That's 303-999-9999. Don't delay.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of the Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
Well, it is Friday. Welcome to the Kim Monson Show. And no, Kim does not have a frog in her throat. This is Bradley Beck. I have the good honor of being here and filling in for Kim, who's traveling. And you can always sign up for Kim's weekly email newsletter, get the first look at all the upcoming guests, as well as the most recent essays. And I'm one of those people who darken her door on writing one once a month, and I look forward to being here next week. And we always invite feedback. And you can email Kim at kimmonson.com. And we all thank you for your contributing support of an independent voice, which exercises the right of freedom of speech. And as I mentioned in our opening segment, I'm reading a great book by Jonathan Turley on free speech, The Indispensable Right. And it's amazing to me that more people don't understand that honor and privilege and right that we have here in America. And to talk about a right that I think more parents need, our two gentlemen who just drove in from the Elizabeth Colorado School District. We have Superintendent Dan Snowberger, excuse me. He's the Colorado Public Schools Superintendent in Elizabeth, and Jeff Marr, who's the Public Information Officer there. And you both have an interesting topic to talk about, the recent development of the schools being told what they can and cannot have in the libraries, and in particular parents, their rights to say, hey, you know what? We don't necessarily want those books, or if they do have those books in the school, there are certain permissions that need to happen.
Correct. Yeah, it's been a long story here. We, as a school district, have really tried to enhance our parents' rights in our district. And this process we began about a year and a half ago in reviewing our library content as well as our curriculum. And so we began going through our entire library collection. And instead of trying to determine what children should read, we began labeling books that had sensitive topics and giving parents the right to say, I'm going to opt my child out of books that might have sensitive topics, graphic violence, sexual content, ideations of self-harm, drugs and alcohol, racism, religious content. So a parent who might not want their children to access books that have those contents, they can opt out. And so when a child tries to check out a book that might have that, the parent says, I don't want my children reading things unless I give them permission, it would not allow their child to check it out. In the process of reviewing our books, we found some books that were adult content. And so we decided, let's do a public process. Let's get our parents to review 19 particular books. Actually, when we pulled them, there were only 18. One was never returned. So we displayed those books for 25 days, had our parents come in and say, tell us what you think about these particular books. Overwhelmingly, our community said, these books don't belong in the library. No educational value, adult content, inappropriate for the age range where they appeared. And our board made the decision based upon community feedback, they should be removed from the library. We removed them on September 9th. The board acted. They were disposed of. December 20th, we were sued by the ACLU on behalf of two particular families in our community. We've been in a battle on that lawsuit with the ACLU. We, 3 weeks ago, had a preliminary injunction ordered by a local Denver judge in district federal court. That order was stayed 2 weeks ago after we filed a motion for stay and appeal. Unfortunately, yesterday, after she stayed that order, once again has reissued her preliminary injunction. And so we are appealing to the 10th Circuit Court today. So the real challenge for us is these books are graphic in nature. They are not just books that have a political viewpoint. They are not books that we are just opposed to because they have LGBTQ content or they cover a point of view that we don't agree with. These are books that are adult content and they just don't belong in a child's library. They're accessible in a public library. They're accessible on Amazon. They're accessible on online libraries. And they're not books that we believe are bad. They're just books we don't believe a child should, in wandering our libraries, accidentally pick up off the shelf. And so I know there's a lot of folks out who have said book ban.
Right.
Frankly, if a child brings this book to school, we're not going to discipline them. We're not going to take it away from them. As long as they read it quietly and read it during their free time, that's fine. We want to make sure, in respect out of parent rights, that this book isn't something that they get provided by the school district because of the fact that it is adult content and definitely requires a parent to make that decision for their children. So it's been a difficult road for us.
I bet.
For sure.
Well, Jeff, how do you get ahead of the messaging on this? Because as Dan mentioned, you know, the idea of book ban, you're not in favor of a book ban. In fact, you probably are wanting more people to read more often, especially books. But how do you get ahead of that, being an expert in communication, being the chief information officer?
Well, it can be difficult because for the most part, up to this point, the media in Denver has framed this story in such a way that Elizabeth School District is banning books and is against this group and this group. And I haven't seen a single article that actually shares the content of what is inside these books. Instead, they just list the titles. They show the author's names. They make it clear in bold that these are books that are hailed by certain groups. These are bestsellers. How could Elizabeth School District do this? And it's really only been a couple of individuals, including CBS Colorado, that have given us a fair and balanced story showing both sides and allowing us to tell our side, and then platforms like this one. And in addition to that, utilizing our YouTube channel, utilizing the fact that I spent 20 years as an anchor and reporter, so I come from a journalist background, and I'm able to tell stories in such a way where we can tell our story in the right way and get our narrative out there. And so that's what it's been up to this point. I think the tide is turning in terms of the public perception of this, because we have been sharing the excerpts on the air on various stations. And when we do that, the response changes. And we have had plenty of individuals call us, email us. Even some have come to my office and said, thank you for doing this. Thank you for standing up for parents' rights. We had no idea that it was this bad in terms of what was in the books.
In fact, it's so bad, and we'll talk a little bit about this in the next segment, but some of the things that when you read them, in fact, you can't read them all.
Yes.
Because we'd be getting knocked off the air, get fined pretty heavily. I remember when I was in what we called junior high school, middle school today, in the LA City school system. So that will give you a take on the mindset there. But this was in the early 1970s. I remember reading D.H. Lawrence, the Lady Chatterley's Lover. I remember reading The Great Gatsby. And looking back and reflecting, one on the content, the language, the idea of class struggle, but it really was deeper. There was sexual exploitation, pretty explicit language for the time. And in fact, both those books were controversial back then. Today, it's even ratcheted up more.
Absolutely. And reading them with guidance from a teacher is one thing, where a teacher is expressing the purpose. Some of these books have historical or purpose and understanding. For instance, one of the books is A Kite Runner. It's outlining the Taliban and the challenges in Afghanistan. Historically, and in a true account of what's happened in Afghanistan, there's value in that. But for a child to wander, read it without the context, without the historical explanation, reading a graphic sex scene is the concern. And so we don't in any way say any of these authors are awful, any of these books are terrible. It's should they just be picked off the shelf and read without explanation, without guidance? That's a concern with the books. So again, I know, you know, the plaintiffs have said we're attacking the authors. We're not attacking the authors. These are just books that we don't believe should just be accidentally taken off the shelves.
And the parents should have the opportunity to chime in on this. After all, it's the right and responsibility of parents to have the responsibility and the expertise to raise their children, not a government entity. So you guys are taking the responsible perspective on this.
Exactly. Yeah, and to your point earlier, I mean, you know, in Colorado, 40% of children can read at grade level. Our purpose as a school district is to improve that.
Right.
We've got to improve the ability of children to read. We're spending our time defending a lawsuit to keep pornographic and graphic violent content in our library. Our goal as a school district is to return to the purpose of our school district, which is to educate children, to prepare them for successful futures. And I guess that's the frustration we have. We're a little district. We don't overtax our citizens. We have one little mill levy. We're competing with our neighboring districts who have massive amounts of additional taxation of their tax base, and so this is very costly for us. We've been very fortunate so far to have lots of support from outside entities, but we also feel this is a principal thing. This is something we must stand for, and we've been very fortunate. We have a very great legal team of legal scholars, constitutional scholars, who are supporting us in this matter. And so we're fortunate, but on our website, elizabethschooldistrict.org, we have a link. Parents United has been supporting us and trying to help ensure that this legal case doesn't take away from our children, because we are right now in the process of wanting to make sure we aren't that district who continues. We outperform our state. We're at 45% of our children are reading above grade level. Still unacceptable. We need 90, 95 99% of our children reading at grade level, and that's where we're going to continue to focus on our efforts. So.
It's important not only because the child needs a well-rounded education, but the child also needs to be exposed to the classics, and if they have a choice with limited time, why are they reading or being taught to read this type of material Absolutely. As opposed to, you know, the Iliad or, you know, the classic books of Euclid.
Exactly.
And it's so important. But we have more to talk about, and we'll have continue this conversation right after this message from Karen Levine.
High inflation and increasing property taxes are making it more challenging for seniors to make ends meet. If you're 62 or older, a reverse mortgage may be the solution for what's keeping you up at night. It is essential that you understand the process and work with a trusted professional. Mortgage expert Lauren Levy will help you craft solutions for your unique circumstances, whether a mortgage, a second mortgage, or a reverse mortgage. If you'd like to explore what a reverse mortgage can do for you, call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Call now.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, MONSON.com.
When a home intruder strikes, you don't know how you'll react. Until it's real. That's why you need the best training in Denver. Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB deliver. They've got the most realistic setups around. A massive 2,500 square feet climate-controlled indoor shoot house where you'll face real-world scenarios. Their friendly and qualified instructors will help you find your weak spots, sharpen your skills, and train like the pros. This unique and hard-to-find training is being made available to you. Beginners are welcome, and it's opening soon. Membership is very affordable but limited, and you can receive a special $50 discount on a charter membership just by telling them you heard about it on KLZ. Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB has the friendly staff, the inventory you want, and the lowest tax rate around. Best of all, it's fun. Find out more about Franktown on the KLZradio.com advertisers page. You've made friends at Franktown Firearms. Now see what their new partnership has to offer you. Colorado CQB, come play with us.
And welcome back to the Kim Monson Show. I am Bradley Beck. Kim is traveling today, and we are so happy that you're with us supporting this station that is really about free speech and freedom versus force. If it's a good idea, you shouldn't have to force people to contribute or to push ideology on top of them. We appreciate your support for this station, our independent voice. And you can always look up Kim's information coming up for the week by getting her newsletter at kim@kimmonson.com. And we're talking with the superintendent of the Elizabeth School District, Dan Snowberg, and the public information officer. I was going to call you the CIO, but you're the PIO.
Promotion.
Yeah. You'll have to talk to Dan after the show. But Jeff Maher is here as well. And let's get into this, gentlemen. There are some pretty interesting titles, and by themselves, they're innocuous if an adult wants to read something. But this content to a young, influential child or a school-age kid is pretty graphic. And I thought it would be important to review this and some of the titles and the verbiage that we can say on the radio. I'm filling in for Kim. I don't want to knock her off the air by repeating some of the words that I've read in these books. So, Dan, why don't you start off with that?
I'm going to let Jeff start.
So we want to put a disclaimer out there to our listeners that if you do have any children in the room, we would ask that you remove them so that they can't hear this because it's our belief that this is not appropriate for children. That's the issue at hand. And so we're going to start with an excerpt from a book that was available at the high school level. It's called Identical by Ellen Hopkins. Features a character named Kaylee, who is 16 years old. And it goes on to say, "I cracked my eyes just a slit as he sat on Kaylee's bed, pulled her into his lap. He smelled of brute and wild turkey, his peculiar potpourri. I love you so much, my little flower. Daddy needs something from my girl, my sweet rose. Will you give it to me? I wanted to be his little flower, would have given my daddy anything. What did he want from Kaylee? She laid her head on his chest. What? I want you to see something. Something that proves how much I love you. This is only for you, Kaylee girl. He lifted her gently, sat her down on the bed beside him. Then he opened the snaps on the fly of his flannel pajamas. And another excerpt in that book goes on to say, confused at his tears and at the sticky stuff icing her hands, still Kaylee pleaded, "Don't cry, Daddy. What's the matter? Didn't I love you good enough?"
Boy, that's disgusting. It just goes to show that it is not age appropriate for either high school, junior high, or elementary school.
Yeah, incestuous content. Do you want to read another high school one?
And these are books that are in the library or were in the library that were able to be accessed by a student.
Correct.
So this is another one from the high school level. It's Crank by Ellen Hopkins. And again, disclaimer to the audience, not age appropriate, not good for children. So if you have kids, we ask that you remove them from the room. This excerpt goes on to say, "I froze as he pushed inside. There it is. Oh, God, there it goes. It went all right with an audible tear. Pain mushroomed into agony, and all I could do was go stiff."
And these are things we can read on the air. Obviously, it goes on with more graphic detail. So, this is what the ACLU wants us to put on the shelf. And I want to mention something. When we first received the legal filing and we filed our motion, our attorneys used quotes in our response to make sure the court understood why the board excluded these books. When we tried to transmit these through our email system, because of the Child Internet Protection Act required by the federal government that we have an internet filter in our school districts to protect children from receiving inappropriate content, we could not email these quotes in our school district. So the federal government says we must protect children from receiving content like this over the internet, but we're being sued to put this content on our library shelves.
So amazing.
Think about that for a minute.
And you couldn't even read these words in public comment in front of a school board.
No.
Because they're so egregious.
Yeah. And our school board read these and again did the same disclaimers Jeff has done now twice to the audience and individuals who have been motivated by this lawsuit actually got up and left that school board meeting when they did this back in August to say, we want our community to understand what's in these books before we take action, because we don't want you to think we're removing books that are just politically motivated. We want you to understand. And individuals in the audience got up and left because of their discomfort. So, again, this is frustrating for us.
And you're not saying ban the book. You're just saying it's not appropriate.
It's not appropriate
for school-age children in a school library to have access to these titles.
Who could accidentally pick them up, go sit down at a table, and open them up and read them without adult guidance.
Or even under peer pressure. You know, kids, you know, being what they are, they would maybe one would get a hold of it and then bring it in.
Agreed.
And then, you know, next thing you know, it's wildfire.
Agreed.
All the kids are exposed to
Agreed.
It. So, Dan, what's the next
I've got
one?
I've got two middle school books. Now we had one book that we removed from the middle school that's still at the high school. So, again, sometimes it was just age appropriate, whether it was appropriate at the age level. One book we removed was removed by Mesa Valley School District after seven children committed suicide one year. And it's a book that many people might know. It's called 13 Reasons Why. And it's a book about suicide, and it's a book about, I believe, a young girl who had committed suicide, and it's recounting what led her to that. So here's some excerpts from it, and they're different excerpts. I'll read them all together, though. Okay, I'll say it. I thought about suicide. A gun? No, we never owned one, and I wouldn't know where to get it. What about hanging? Well, what would I use? Where would I do it? And even if I knew what and where, I could never get beyond the visual of someone finding me swinging inches from the floor. It became a sick sort of game, imagining ways to kill myself, and there are some pretty weird and creative ways. He took pills, that we all knew. Some say you passed out and drowned in a bathtub full of water. It came down to two lines of thinking. If I wanted people to think it was an accident, I'd drive my car off, off the road, someplace where there's no chance of survival. So I've decided on the least painful way possible, pills. But what kind of pills and how many, I'm not sure, and I don't have much time to figure it out because tomorrow I'm going to do it. And so Mesa Valley had 7 children commit suicide and decided in 2017 to pull that book. We pulled that from both the high school and the middle school. Think of 12-year-olds reading this book, depressed, and having a book that plants ideas in their mind about committing suicide.
I mean, that's powerful, and it's a strong narrative, but again, you're not wanting to expose young people to this kind of ideology and give them the idea that it's something yeah. I can do, and then they do it, and the next day, they're not coming back.
Exactly.
It's important.
You can't fix that mistake.
No,
right?
Not at all.
Another book called The Hate You Give, and it does have a lot of content about police brutality, and the narrative is we don't want kids to understand there's police brutality. This has some graphic sexual content, and this was at both the high school and the middle school, and again, 12-year-olds. Here's a quote. "Fooling around isn't new for us, and when Chris slipped his hand into my shorts, I didn't even think of it. And he got me going, and I really wasn't thinking at all. For real, my thought process went out the door. And right as I was at the moment, he stopped, reached into his pocket, and pulled out a condom. He raised his eyebrow at me and silently asking for an invitation to go all the way. All I could see, walking around Garden Heights, babies propped on their hips. Condom or no condom? Expletive happens. I left his house pissed and horny, and absolute worst way to leave." And then another section, let me clarify, my butt against his crotch, my back against his chest. I'm bumping up against him, trying to figure out how to get the ball back in the hole. It sounds way dirtier than it actually is, especially in this position. And again, that's the tame stuff in the book. So again, yes, there's police brutality, there's life experiences of maybe inner city. The issue is the graphic graphic sexual content in the book that led us to say it just doesn't belong in a middle school and a high school library. Are there real experiences that maybe children need to understand? Some experience, yes. But this is a content that led us to exclude.
And shouldn't the parents have the discussion, not the teacher or not the student to student?
Absolutely.
There are safeguards in schools. If there is some activity that happens, they can report it.
Absolutely.
But at the end of the day, if you only have that limited time, as I mentioned before, what do you want your kids to be exposed to?
Absolutely.
And as a parent, as a grandparent, I think it's important that this be brought to the forefront and saying who has that responsibility.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
some of the things you're saying here, I mean, I can imagine what you can't read. Mm-hmm. And parents and people listening can pick those books up and decide. But your school board did the hard work, read it. You had parents chime in. And now you have this situation where you're kind of like David against
David
Goliath.
David and Goliath. It is a David and Goliath story.
Yeah.
If we have time, we have one elementary example.
We have about 3 minutes. So
okay. Sure. So this one is called George, alternately named Melissa. Again, it was available at the elementary level to kids as early as 5. And this excerpt goes on to say, and I should preface this, that the character is in 4th grade and is going through a gender transition. That would be George/Melissa. The excerpt goes on to say, "While Mom made dinner, George headed upstairs to take a bath. She took off her shirt while the tub filled, waiting until the last possible moment to take off her pants and underwear. She immersed her body in the warm water and tried to not think about what was between her legs, but there it was, bobbing in front of her." And then it goes on to say in another excerpt, "So George knew it could be done. A boy could become a girl. She had since read on the internet that you could take girl hormones and that would change your body and you could get a bunch of different surgeries if you wanted them and had the money. This was called transitioning. You could even start before you were 18 with pills called androgen blockers that stopped the boy hormones already inside you from turning your body into a man's. But for that, you needed your parents' permission."
Boy. Not left a lot left to the imagination there. So, gentlemen, how can people get involved, help you folks out, and really bring you the support you need?
So, as Dan mentioned, this really is a David versus Goliath fight. I know everybody's talking about that show on Amazon right now, and my wife, we're actually watching it. It's very good. I highly recommend it. But as we were watching it, we said, yeah, this is the situation that we are in, literally. And what people can do if they want to help Elizabeth School District in this legal fight, they can go to our website, elizabethschooldistrict.org. Again, that's elizabethschooldistrict.org. And at the top banner, there is a link to the 501(c) fundraising site that's been set up by Parents United. And this really is going to be a grassroots type of effort approach to try to take on this legal battle that absolutely could go the distance, because this is unsettled law. This hasn't been addressed since the early 80s at the U.S. Supreme Court level. And, you know, for all we know, it could be headed that direction. And we're definitely going to need help to get there.
There's also a link on that website that will provide updates on this case. So if you scroll down a little, there's a link that will give you updates as we file new motions, as we file our new briefs. So people who are interested, follow along, because this is really an important case, not only for our district, for districts around Colorado and around the nation. So
very good. Well, Dan and Jeff, thank you for being here, and we appreciate the information, and hope people get involved with you. And I'll end with a quote that is appropriate by Orson Swett Martin. He was an American inspirational thinker, and he said, "Every child should be taught to expect success." And what's been going on in the school districts now, it really is not giving them success. So, ladies and gentlemen, today, be grateful, read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideas, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. You're not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important stories.
An early childhood taxing district. What on earth is that?
The latest in politics and world affairs.
I don't think that we should be passing legislation that is so complicated that people kind of throw up their hands and say, I can't understand that.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
And it's not fair just because you're a big business that you get a break on this and the little guy doesn't.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
Indeed, let's have a conversation. And the voice you're hearing is Bradley Beck. It's not Kim Munson. She's out traveling. And I have the honor of sitting in the big girl chair today and hosting this wonderful program, The Kim Munson Show. And welcome, Colorado. We're glad you're here. Thank you for listening. Each of you are valued. You're treasured. Today, strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. We were made for this day, and it's a beautiful day here in Colorado. And Producer Joe, thank you for letting me in. And we had a great first hour with Superintendent from the Elizabeth School District, Dan Schoberger and Jeff Maher, and amazing segment.
I thought it was fantastic, too. A lot of those pieces I was kind of seeing, like, kind of the startup when I was getting out of high school. My little brothers were still in school, and so, like, I got to see a small transition there, but to see it go this far is just unsettling.
Yeah, it's amazing, and the good, hard fight that the Elizabeth School District is doing to push back from the ACLU and fighting the fight that it's the parents' right to decide what their children read. not necessarily the school district. They're not looking to ban books. They're looking to be sensitive to topics that would impact our young people. And if you're a grandparent or if you're a parent, we encourage you to look up the Elizabeth School District and see the controversy that they're in, really doing the good job of protecting our children.
Absolutely. And I think it's so important, their point. They're just trying to take the books out of the school library. You can go to the public library and get those books with your parents' permission, but at the end of the day, it shouldn't be readily available in the schools so young.
Exactly. Well, good conversation. We invite you to listen to the replay, and that'll be later today. In the meantime, you can sign up for the weekly email newsletter at kim@kimmonson.com is her email, and kimmonson.com is where you can get all the latest essays. I have one I just submitted, and I think she's going to accept it. She usually does. And with good editing from Mrs. Beck and my grammar and the ability to punctuate, I'm lucky that I have an editor to do that. We all need editors, right, Joe?
I definitely do. I'm more of a math science guy, so sometimes English is no good.
I think that's everybody. So we want to thank the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. We need the support of people like the Harris family who invest in Kim's program. We're an independent voice for freedom and free speech. Our word of the day is one that's interesting because when you look at it, it sounds one way, but it actually is pronounced lackardy, yet it's spelled A-L-A-C-R-I-T-Y, and it's being cheerful or willingness or eagerness, and it derives from Latin, meaning lively or eager, and used in a sentence, quote, he invited us all to visit, and we agreed with lackardy, end of quote. So that's the word of the day. We invite you to use it and help your skill set in communicating to your friends and coworkers and people you just interact with today. And one of the things I omitted at the very beginning, but I'm going to do it this part, is our quote of the day comes from Dr. Orison Swett Marton. He was an American inspirational author, and he wrote on achieving success from when he was born, 1848, to 1924. He was a prolific writer. He founded the magazine Success in 1897, and his writings discuss common sense principles and virtues of well-rounded individuals who want to have a successful life. And his first book, Pushing to the Front, in 1894, became an instant bestseller at the time, and Martin later published more than 50 books or booklets, averaging about two titles a year, which is prolific. And in his book, He Can Who Thinks He Can, which I happen to own a 1908 edition, he said the following, quote, every child should be taught to expect success, end of quote. And I think that's important. And when friends and people I know in business have a baby, I usually get one of several young children's books that are appropriate, and I sign that in there as well, and quote Orison Swett Marton, and that's O-R-I-S-O-N, middle name Swett, S-W-E-T-T, Marton, M-A-R-D-E-N. And I encourage you to look him up and see his history and what he's been doing for the ideas of success, especially in business, but in life as well. And so one of the things that we also like to talk about a little bit is the happenings from the history of our great country and some of the events that really stand out. And one of those things in 1968, the U.S. civil rights activist Martin Luther King was assassinated on this day, April 4th. And it was in Memphis, Tennessee at the Lorraine Hotel. And I think it's important to remember his legacy and what Dr. King represented. I remember I was about 9 years old when that happened. President Kennedy had been shot. Robert Kennedy had not yet. I think several months later he would be. But it's important to know that that voice was silenced on that day. And there's so much that Dr. King did to advance the cause of rights of not just the black community, but all of us. as Americans, and he was a great civil libertarian. He spoke truth to power, and it's important to remember his legacy. And if you ever get a chance and you go to Atlanta, Georgia, the King Center there where he's buried in the museum, it's a fascinating opportunity to learn a little bit about the history that too often is misconstrued and not known and not taught. And as was demonstrated in the first hour, we had a variety of books that are being taken off from the Elizabeth School District school shelves because they're not appropriate, and yet students are not exposed necessarily to Dr. King and his thoughts. So it's important to remember this. Being opening day for the Colorado Rockies here in Colorado, of course, it's a little snowy out there. But on this day in 1974, Hank Aaron, he tied Babe Ruth's home run record by hitting the 714th baseball home run in Cincinnati against Jack Billingham. So we never know what the Rockies are going to be doing, but we wish them well this opening day. And I have been to opening days when it snowed before. This year I'm not going, unfortunately, but it's great to go out to the ballpark and celebrate spring and the great American pastime. It's very important to have those traditions and those things that bring us all together. It's not always political, but it is an opportunity to celebrate our Rockies. I want to talk a minute here about this HB 25-1005. It's a tax incentive for film festivals. And you think, well, what's wrong with that, bringing the Sundance Film Festival or any film festival here to Colorado? We get exposed to new creative people and films that are important or could be important. And I think it's important to do that. But should the legislature pick winners and losers? And so this 2025 in the regular session, the bill to create a refundable tax credit only if at least one qualified film festival entity with a multi-dedicated operating history and verifiable track record attracting 100,000 or more in-person ticket sales will get a compensation, a tax credit. And, you know, it sounds good. The problem you have is, why is the legislature picking winners and losers when the small guy who has an independent business, a mom-and-pop shop, is not being compensated? And I'm not saying they should be, but what I'm saying is that the legislator is saying one group of people or one industry is more important than another, and it's not the proper role of government to be doing things like this. It is the proper role of government to protect the rights of individuals to come together and put together a film festival or a concert or an art exhibit, but not necessarily to give them funding or a tax break because, you know, the mystique or the idea of having Hollywood here for a couple weeks or a week, it's just not the proper role for government to be in part of. So I'd invite you to push back on something like this. If a government wants to do it, if a town or city wants to do it, that's awesome. But the government shouldn't be incentivizing film festivals. You know, that's important because we should do things voluntarily. And one of the things that I would encourage you to do voluntarily through Kim's work with veterans is to honor and highlight the USMC Memorial Foundation and all the good work they're doing to raise money to remodel the official USMC Memorial, which is located right here in Golden, Colorado at 6th and Colfax. And Paula Saris is the president of the foundation. She's a Marine veteran and a Gold Star wife, and she recently had a birthday and climbed, I think, all the steps at Red Rock. So congratulations to her to raise funds for what they're doing out there. And Paula and her team are working diligently to bring the remodel to reality. And you can help by donating to the USMC Memorial Foundation. And that's usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And we invite you to do that. This show comes to you because of great sponsors such as Roger Mangan.
It seems like we are getting squeezed everywhere. Inflation, high taxes, at the gas pump. Where can you save money? Well, when you bundle your insurance coverage with the Roger Mangan State Farm Insurance Team, you may save money on your insurance premiums. The Roger Mangan team will help you with a personalized plan to cover all your insurance needs for your home, auto, boat, and renter's coverage. For a complimentary appointment, call the Roger Mangan team now at 303-795-8855. That number again is 303-795-8855. Like a good neighbor, the Roger Mangan team is there.
The current level of interest rates is causing challenges and creating opportunities. For nearly 20 years, mortgage specialist with Polygon Financial Group, Lauren Levy, has helped individuals realize their hopes and dreams of home ownership, fund kids' educations through second mortgages, and access capital by utilizing reverse mortgages. Lauren's not constrained to work with just one lender. Because he works with many different lenders, Lauren offers you choices for your individual mortgage needs. Knowledge is power, and preparation leads to success. Call Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881 so that you are prepared for the opportunities in the mortgage market. That's Lauren Levy at 303-880-8881.
You'd like to get in touch with one of the sponsors of The Kim Monson Show, but you can't remember their phone contact or website information. Find a full list of advertising partners on Kim's website, kimmonson.com. That's Kim, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. It's Friday!
Indeed, it is Friday, and for those that celebrate Shabbat Shalom and Happy Friday, we hope everybody's having a great day today so far. I am. It's great to be in the big kid seat here and take over for Kim, who's out traveling. I'm Bradley Beck, and it's always an honor to be here at KLZ. And looking at the other side of the glass, the great Joe, producer Joe, welcome, and glad you're here today.
I'm glad to be here. I always like coming in.
It's always great to see your smiling face, and he does great work with all the folks that work with Kim here at the station, and we appreciate their support. You can look up Kim at her website and all the wonderful essays that are on at kimmonson.com. You can sign up for her weekly email newsletter and get the first look at all the guests that are coming on, and you can always comment at kim@kimmonson.com. And we really appreciate all the support of our independent voice of exercising our freedom of speech. And something that should be on your bucket list and have the opportunity to see, the Center for American Values, which is located at the beautiful Riverwalk in Pueblo, Colorado, just south of Colorado Springs. The Center for American Values was co-founded by Medal of Honor recipient Drew Dix and Emmy Award-winning documentary maker Brad Padula. And the center is focused on honoring our Medal of Honor recipients and teaching the upholding principles of America, which are honor, integrity, and patriotism. For more information, check out their website at AmericanValueCenters.org. That's AmericanValueCenter.org. And we appreciate their support of the great American values that we mentioned. On the line with us, we have Alicia Garcia, and she's an interesting lady because she does so many things. She's a firearms instructor, a range safety officer, a civil rights activist, a Second Amendment activist, and a plaintiff on a case that we may be able to talk about, Garcia v. Colorado. And she is known as, I believe, the broomstick babe on Instagram. So, Alicia, welcome.
Good morning. How are you today?
I'm doing unbelievable. It's good to hear your voice, and I've been following you for years on social media and all the things that you're doing. And tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, first of all, thank you guys so much for having me. I really appreciate it. I am very, very happy to be here. So I'm just a regular old gal. Everybody knows me as the Boomstick Babe. It's a nickname my father gave me when I was a kid because I used to shoot a little 20-gauge shotgun on our family farmland, and it just kind of stuck. And when he passed away, I kind of just used it as my screen name to honor him because I was talking all the time about gun rights and the importance of staying armed. And it just, you know, it took off from there. But just like you said, I'm the plaintiff in Garcia versus Polis, suing against a three-day waiting period as a co-plaintiff with Rocky Mountain Gun Owners. Shout out to them. I also have a company that I just put together with my business partner, Spartan Defense, in Colorado Springs by the name of the Second Syndicate. We are not just a show on YouTube, but we are a movement. It is a Second Amendment grassroots activist movement that we put together in January because of all the gun control Colorado is facing right now. I also do a lot of public speaking and encouraging people to stay armed and educating them on the importance of staying armed and why firearms are an essential tool to be an American as well as for freedom. So just like you said, I'm also a range safety officer. I'm a firearms educator. I teach classes on concealed handgun permitting, on defensive pistol, on situational awareness, on de-escalation, things of that nature as well.
So where did you grow up?
I'm kind of an anomaly. I grew up in Denver. I went to private school in the city, so I went to like Presentation of Our Lady. I went to Lutheran, which are private schools that were in the city and county of Denver. But on the weekends and holidays and basically, you know, Friday through Sunday, I was in Trinidad, Colorado with my grandma and my grandpa and my aunts and uncles. So I was a farm girl on the weekends and a private school kid on the weekdays.
Well, you had a mixed upbringing, and I bring that up because I mentioned in the first segment, I was on a plane yesterday flying back from Phoenix, and I had the good fortune of reading a book by Jonathan Turley, and the title is The Indispensable Right about the First Amendment and Free Speech. And this lady sitting next to me was from Australia, and we got in a conversation about the book title. But then she turned the subject to, the Second Amendment. And I handed her a constitution, which had the declaration into it. And I said, well, this gives you all the information you need to know. And we had a delightful conversation about the Second Amendment. But as she kept bringing up, well, you know, in Australia, we got rid of all our guns and we don't have the violence you have here in America. And I thought that was an interesting perspective.
Well, people assume that violence is because of the tool. People forget that humans are animals. We're complex chordates. We're in the kingdom of Animalia. We're complex chordates. We're in the phylum Chordata. The only thing that differentiates us from those creatures is we have a right to exercise sympathy and we have a right to exercise reason. And that doesn't mean that humans aren't innately violent. And when we talk about violence, it's not saying that all humans are going to conduct violence. What I mean by that is that we have the ability for violence. And we don't carry guns and I don't promote gun ownership to act violently. I do them so people cannot act violently towards us. And it is a right to ensure your safety. It's a right to defense. It's not a right to act violent. And I think that that's the misconception a lot of these countries have about, you know, oh, well, guns are innately violent, so we don't have those. Well, you know, a lot of the time they associate that with also self-harm, you know, the big S word. And look at Japan. It has one of the highest S rates and suicide rates in the entire world, and it's not with firearms. It's just self-harm. It's a cultural thing. So it's not necessarily the tool, and one of the constant messages that I teach my students is the mind is the weapon. The gun is a tool. So we have to use ourselves, we have to use our wits, we have to use our brains and our cognitive reasoning to exercise that right and to exercise the decision of when to act, if to act, and how to act, and to make sure that we have the ability to act when something is responding to us in an aggressive or violent way, because we all have a right to get home to our families, right?
Exactly.
We all have a right to go home at the end of the night and make sure that we're safe. So I don't carry a gun every day because I'm looking to harm somebody or impose my will on people. I carry a firearm to make sure that nobody can impose harm on me or impose their will on me. It gives me my ability to say no. And I think we've forgotten that as a society because we're being groomed by so many outlets, you know, the mainstream media, the TV shows, the constant attack on our freedoms that are being groomed by the left, by the people that want to take these rights away, that are indoctrinating not just our students and our youth, but communities of saying, hey, you know what? Just give these things up. We'll protect you. You don't need these because look at all these acts of violence. But what they don't understand is nobody wants to get shot, not even bad guys. So would you be, you know, do you want to be the gazelle or do you want to be, you know, the rhino? Do you want to be the armadillo with the hard shell, or do you want to be the predator or the little prey bunny? You know, it's like even if in when you look in nature, every animal has a method of self-defense. We just have a very elevated and evolved way of doing that.
And you mentioned safety, which is an important part. If you're going to own a firearm, you should know how to use it. You should be well trained, And it's not something that you should take lightly. It's something that you should understand that it is something that can take somebody's life.
Absolutely. We believe in training. That's a misconception I believe that people have, is that we don't believe in training, so the government keeps continually imposing mandated enforced training. Well, I truly believe, and I've been doing this for quite some time. I've been shooting guns since I was a child. I've been an enthusiast of firearms most of my life and active in this for, you know, many years now. And what I have found that most of this community is very adamant about training. We encourage training. We promote training. And we train all the time. I shoot a gun once a week. And I travel across the United States, and I go get training every year. I train in medical. I train in life-saving skills to make sure that we can seal chest wounds, that we can pack wounds. We know how to use tourniquets. We know how to do those things. I carry an IFAC, which is an individual first aid kit, with me everywhere I go. I have one in my house. I have one in my car. And I encourage my students to always have medical, life-saving equipment around you. You know, you should have one on every floor of your home. You should have one in your vehicle because car accidents happen, violence happens, and it's not always necessarily meant from other people, but, you know, you could slip and fall on ice and get hit by something. There's all these different types of things, but the importance of saving a life is the mentality that we really want to push and the encouragement of that. And right now we have all of these state-issued mandated laws that they're force-feeding our communities. And what I truly believe is it's more harmful than not having them, or than having them just be left alone. Because when you tell a society that's unfamiliar on a topic that, hey, you need to go and you need to take an 8-hour classroom class, and then you need to go shoot 50 rounds of live fire with your firearm and take this written exam, what that does is it tells people this is enough.
Right.
This is all you need.
Right.
And so it actually encourages them to not get more training. And it also tells people, we're going to be rebellious. We don't want to do this. So as a way to reject government tyranny, we're going to say no, and we're not going to do what you tell us to do, which that's not what we want. We want people to be efficient. We want people to train and encourage that. I just think this is going to have a adverse effect in what they think they're doing.
Well, Alicia, when we come back, I want to talk about that overreach by government and what's going on down in their state legislature and SB 25-003. I think it's important to talk about those issues, and we'll do that right after we hear from Karen Levine.
Property is surely a right of mankind, as real as liberty, wrote Founding Father John Adams. RE/MAX Realtor Karen Levine has been working diligently at the local, county, state, and national levels to protect property rights and home ownership. Karen has navigated the often challenging Colorado metro real estate market for years. Karen Levine is the trusted professional for you to turn to when you are buying or selling your home, considering a new build, or exploring investment opportunities. Realtor Karen Levine, you want her on your side of the table. Call Karen at 303-877-7516. That's 303-877-7516.
Have you ever wondered how safe we are? Our speakers, Maria Sumnick, New York City Cyber Command Architect, and John Spence, Colorado Director of the Task Force on Homeland Security, will provide insights into foreign and weather threats facing America's infrastructure and strategies to protect us. Join us on Saturday, April 12th at the Old Spaghetti Factory in Westminster from 11:30 to 1:30. Tickets are available at JeffcoRepublicanWomen.com. The luncheon is open to anyone.
All of Kim's sponsors are an inclusive partnership with Kim and are not affiliated with or in partnership with KLZ or Crawford Broadcasting. If you would like to support the work of the Kim Munson Show and grow your business, contact Kim at her website, KimMunson.com. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
Happy Friday, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. The gravelly voice you hear is not Kim, of course. It's Bradley Beck, and I'm glad to be filling in for her today on this beautiful day in Colorado. So we're so glad you're listening today. Sign up for Kim's weekly email newsletter. You can get the first look at all her upcoming guests, as well as the most recent emails. You can go to KimMunson.com and always contact her by emailing her at Kim@KimMunson.com. And thank you to all our contributors, their support of our independent voice, exercising our right to freedom of speech. And thank you to the Harris family for their gold sponsorship of the show. And through Kim's work with veterans, she's honored to highlight the USMC Memorial Foundation and all the work they're doing to raise money to remodel the official USMC Memorial, which is located right here in Golden, Colorado, at 6 and Colfax. Paula Saris is the president of the foundation, and she's done amazing things. She's a Marine veteran, a Gold Star wife, and Paula and her team are working diligently to bring a remodel to reality, and you can help by donating at usmcmemorialfoundation.org. And on the line with us, we have Alicia Garcia, and she's a gun enthusiast. She does a lot of things with the Second Amendment, and we wanted to talk a little bit about the bill that the state legislature just passed. I believe it's on the governor's desk, and that's SB25-003, which is probably one of the most controversial gun bills in the country right now, Alicia.
Very true, and as awful as this bill is, the sad part is it's not alone. If you search in the bills right now that are being propositioned for basically they're negotiating your civil rights in the Gold Dome, there's 25 bills right now that have the word firearm in it. 25. So this, even though this is egregious and this is horrible, it's not the only thing of its kind. They're killing us with a death by a thousand cuts, and this has been an onslaught against your civil rights and your right to self-defense for quite some time. We experienced this last year, the year before, and they just keep coming at us, and they're leaving us basically no choice than to push back with federal law, to get feds involved, to file lawsuits, and to resist. I mean, that's what we have to do as people, as well as coordinate more real politicians that are actually serving the voices of the people and serving their community in the Gold Dome. What is astonishing to me is when I first started pushing back against these bills, showing up to the Capitol, testifying in opposition of all this gun control, I had, you know, these wide eyes that my voice is going to matter. I'm going to change the perspectives of these politicians. And I was shocked to see that not only do they not care about what I have to say, they will sit there, they won't look at me, they'll leave, they'll color in coloring books, they'll text on their cell phones. They completely ignore you because they know exactly how they're going to vote. They know exactly that they're going to pass this. And it was shocking to me that this year, the first time we had public committee hearing for SB 25-003, there were so many businesses like gun shops and gun owners that were saying, you're going to put Colorado gun shops out of business. And this was pleasing to people like Senator Julie Gonzalez, to people like Senator Tom Sullivan. That was music to their ears. So when we have these people coming in there and they're saying, hey, you're going to destroy my business that I've owned, that's exactly the goal. And it encourages them to keep doing it more and more. And what we're realizing now is that even though pro-gun people, every time they have these hearings, we're getting more loud, we're getting stronger, we're getting more involved, we're outnumbering the opposition 1-10. Think about that. We are keeping them for hours and hours and hours, telling them, no, we the people do not want these bills, and yet they completely disregard our voices and say, nope, but we do. So not only are they not acting in the interest of the people, they're acting in the interest of themselves and the organizations that are lining their pockets, and they're absolutely corrupt, they're absolutely bribed, and they're absolutely doing the bidding for the big gun control movements, such as Bloomberg, Moms Demand Action, et cetera.
So this bill, Senate Bill 25-003, would make it illegal to buy, sell, and manufacture most guns that use a detachable magazine unless the person has a special permit. And
yes, so
there's the rub, right?
Purchase. Yep. It's a permit to purchase. And the big deal that I want people to understand is this is a gun registration. This is a gun registration bill because they're saying you're going to need a permit to purchase semi-automatic firearms. As of July 1st of this year, so just in just a few months, the concealed carry laws are changing in Colorado based on a bill that was passed last year. So myself as a firearms instructor, I have to get permission from the state to, even though, you know, I shoot once a week, we have a private range here at my business partner's house, and we train and test guns all the time. You know, I train all the time. I'm registered as a firearms instructor with national organizations. I've worked with some of the best in the world. And yet the state feels that it's their requirement also to judge me and to make me pay for them to
say, okay, Ms. Garcia, you can teach now. It's a scheme to make more money and to also get us to give them our name. You know, hey, here's a formal name that you're going to have now on record of me being a gun owner and a gun educator. Now, for my students, it requires them to have 8 hours class time as well as 50 rounds live fire and a written exam, and they have to be able to pass both of those requirements, which, keep in mind, many firearms, like, or many law enforcement don't even have those requirements. So that's a red flag to me. But now they're imposing a permit to purchase, so this is a complete different law that's in addition to that process. So now you're going to have to ask permission to buy 80 to 90% of the guns that are being sold in Colorado and the United States. So they're asking you to say, hey, you know what, even though I need a permit to carry, now I need a permit to ask if it's okay for me to own these tools. And here's my information. I have to petition the state through the Department of Wildlife and ask you if I can. And it also takes away Colorado's right to for shall issue, meaning right now you have the ability to apply the state to say, hey, you know what, I want a concealed handgun permit, and the sheriff or county that you're permitting through has to give you that permit if you meet the requirements. They cannot exercise discretion, meaning they're just an administrator. They stamp it, they rubber stamp it, and they pass the paperwork through. Now the permit to purchase, what we're calling a COID card or a FOID card, much like Illinois and these other states that have the highest rates of gun control and the highest rates of violence, are saying, you know what, we're now empowering the sheriff's department, we're now empowering law enforcement and these other people to look at your personal recognizance and say, you know what, we do not want this person to have a gun. We're going to look up who they are, we're going to look at their social media, and if we feel that this person is not ideal to own and purchase firearms, we have the ability to deny them that. So think of how that looks for someone like me. My name is Alicia Garcia. Most of the time, people don't think I even speak English because of how ethnic my name is, okay? And there's a lot of bias against, you know, different types of minority groups, women, et cetera, and we don't know who's exercising that discretion. When you look me up on the internet, you type Alicia Garcia at Colorado, all you see is pictures of me with guns, right? So to people that don't understand my lifestyle, they think, oh, this girl is a right-wing extremist, she's violent, she's all of these things. So who's to say that they're going to say, you know what, we don't like that this girl does all these things, we're going to rubber stamp her denied, and we're empowering them to deny us our constitutional right.
Well, I'd like to remind people we have a Second Amendment, and it is very quick to read. It says a well-regulated militia, the people, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And being an originalist in mindset, I don't understand why people don't get that very simple sentence.
Well, one of the things that was very shocking to me that I heard said by one of our legislators, and I wish I had their name on the top of my head who said it, it was said that, okay, the Second Amendment guarantees you the right to bear arms. It does not give you the ability to purchase them. And this is how they twist this language to fulfill their own psychotic, diseased concepts of freedom to the people. They feel that it is their place to impose what they want on ourselves. 2 years ago in public testimony, excuse me, last year, I testified against the new laws of concealed carry, and I spoke about how historically racist and biased gun control is, and the ugly roots of gun control is rooted in racism. And Stephen Woodrow, in rebuttal to my testimony, said he actually quoted 18th century slave law from slave codes that prevented freed slaves and minorities from having firearms based on bigotry and bias to support his vote for imposing more gun control on the people. And these are the people we have in office right now pushing these laws, pushing these restrictions on free people.
Well, it's interesting that you bring that up because, as I mentioned, I was sitting next to this lady from Australia when I was coming back from Arizona. And one of the things that she said to me was that, you know, people shouldn't have firearms to protect themselves, which just blew me away. And I said, we have a constitutional right to protect ourselves, but we have a personal responsibility to be trained as well. And as we are having that conversation, I mentioned that we don't have guns or firearms to protect ourselves just from criminals. It's also to protect ourselves from the overreach of a government that is out of their lane. And not that I'm advocating that we have a revolution, but Thomas Jefferson even mentioned this many times, and so did many of the founders, that we need to protect ourselves from a democracy rather than a republic.
Absolutely. And we are a constitutional republic. This gets misconstrued all the time. I hear this word democracy thrown around in committee hearing like candy, like rice at a wedding. It's like we live in a constitutional republic. You know, say the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Where is the justice in this? And my concern with laws like this is a well-organized and well-thought-out design from the anti-gunners to indoctrinate and groom our youth to believing that this freedom is not necessary. And any time in history, when you look throughout every culture that groomed to disarm their citizens, it led to mass genocide. And what's happening here is this is a registry, these gun registries that they're imposing. Registration leads to confiscation. Confiscation leads to genocide. And people are like, oh, you're being too extreme. You're being too extreme. I had Lily Tang Williams on my YouTube show last night, who grew up in communist China under Mao. And one of the things that we talked about is when she was 12 years old, when Mao passed away, she cried because in her mind, he was a god. He was untouchable. She was, you know, raised to think that this was the way it is. Just like this woman from Australia that you're talking about. And that's what they're doing to our children. They know that the older people, like me and others, were raised with this right, so we understand the value. So they're targeting our youth to tell them, you know what, you don't need the right to privacy. Like they've taught them with their cell phones and all their personal information that they're publishing online, which is also a constitutional right. Now they're telling them, you don't need these guns, you don't need these things, and we're going to indoctrinate you with this mindset, so you don't need that either. And this is a well-thought-out plan, and this is what we're up against, and this is why it's so important that we have community and togetherness and education and training and fun around guns again, and remind people that this is not just a tool of liberty, this is a tool of freedom, because we're humans before we're constitutionalists, right? Even other people in other countries deserve the right to have that human right of survival. The Constitution just succincts that for us.
Well, and there are a lot of other laws, as you mentioned, Proposition KK, which would add an excise tax, and going to your point earlier, the least among our society who can afford these increases in firearms and taxes collected to support all kinds of programs that the left uses, and yet it precludes those that are, let's say, poor in our society to buy either the firearms or for the ammunition.
You don't have to suffer the consequences of someone else's negligence on your own. The attorneys at Bowes & Law have extensive experience handling all types of personal injury and wrongful death claims involving motor vehicle accidents, medical malpractice, defective products, catastrophic injuries, and more. Bowes & Law also assists clients with matters related to workers' compensation and Social Security Disability, SSD. Bowes & Law takes pride in truly getting to know their clients and genuinely cares about helping you seek the justice you deserve. Call Bowes & Law at 303-999-9999 for a complimentary consultation. That number is 303-999-9999. Call Bowes & Law now.
Focused and wise marketing is essential for your success, especially during tough economic times. If you love The Kim Munson Show, strive for excellence and understand the importance of engaging in the battle of ideas that is raging in America. Then talk with Kim about partnership, sponsorship opportunities. Email Kim at kimmunson.com. Kim focuses on creating relationships with individuals and businesses that are tops in their fields, so they are the trusted experts listeners turn to when looking for products or services. Kim personally endorses each of her sponsors. Again, reach out to Kim at KimMunson.com.
When a home intruder strikes, you don't know how you'll react. Until it's real. That's why you need the best training in Denver. Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB deliver. They've got the most realistic setups around. A massive 2,500 square feet climate-controlled indoor shoot house where you'll face real-world scenarios. Their friendly and qualified instructors will help you find your weak spots, sharpen your skills, and train like the pros. This unique and hard-to-find training is being made available to you. Beginners are welcome, and it's opening soon. Membership is very affordable but limited, and you can receive a special $50 discount on a charter membership just by telling them you heard about it on KLZ. Franktown Firearms and Colorado CQB has the friendly staff, the inventory you want, and the lowest tax rate around. Best of all, it's fun. Find out more about Franktown on the KLZradio.com advertisers page. You've made friends at Franktown Firearms. Now see what their new partnership has to offer you. Colorado CQB, come play with us.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Brad Beck, and I'm pleased to host the show for Kim, who is traveling today, and it's always an honor to take the big kid seat and be the host for the Kim Munson Show. You can always check her out at her website at KimMonson.com. Sign up for her weekly email newsletter and get the first look at all the upcoming guests, as well as our most recent essays. I have one coming out, and I'll be back next week to talk about it. And we're talking to somebody who is an expert in firearms and somebody who is passionate about the Second Amendment. Alicia Garcia is on our phone line with us, and we're having a conversation on what they're doing to usurp your rights down at the Colorado Legislature. Welcome back, Alicia.
Indeed. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
So you have an event coming up, and I want to mention that down at the Capitol.
Absolutely. Well, not down at the Capitol. I have two events this weekend. One is Saturday at the Gallery Shooting Range in Lakewood, Colorado, from, I believe, 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. We are having a range day, a 2A society social, and a meet and greet of Lily Tang Williams. If you out there don't know who Lily Tang Williams is, you should know her. She is a immigrant who came to America from communist China, who is now running for Congress. I had her on my show last night. She is a fantastic human being, very, very pro 2A, and she is worth knowing. We're also going to have a whole bunch of really, really high-end handguns and firearms available to shoot all day, or from 4 to 7 p.m. We have guns like the Lago Alien, which is anywhere from a $4,000 to a $8,000 handgun. It's the most futuristic, lowest bore access firearm on the market. We have guns like a Stealth Platypus, which is a very, very high-end gun. We have suppressed firearms, our weapons that's made here in Colorado, shooting those. We have Dead Air. We have
event coming, shooting, and social event. That's easy for me to say. It's a meet and greet that's coming up at the Lakewood, at the Gallery, a sportsman's club and range down in Lakewood, Colorado. And Lily Tang Williams is run for office, I believe, in New Hampshire, and she's running again. And she's a great person to interact with and network. She was here in Colorado for several years and moved down, I think, with the Free State Project. And you'll get a chance to meet her and interact with a lot of gun enthusiasts, firearm instructors, and to take advantage of some new guns that are out there in the marketplace. And I think we have Alicia back with us now.
Yeah, sorry about that. I don't know what happened, but yeah.
You gave me a heart attack, but that's okay. I needed it.
Please no. I don't want that for you. But yeah, we're going to have some really, really high-end firearms that my partner company, Spartan Defense, has provided, Lago Aliens, which are like $5,000 to $7,000 handguns. They're the most futuristic, most lowest bore access firearm you could shoot. We're going to have some full-auto Uzis. We're going to have some full-auto Scorpions. We're going to have some suppressed firearms. We're going to have a really great time. The Libertarian Party is providing some really nice hearty hors d'oeuvres for everybody, even if it's general admission. We have some amazing giveaways that my company, the Second Syndicate, is providing. You Colorado Specialty Sport in Colorado Springs donated a Springfield Echelon
that people can win. Spartan Defense is giving away a $500 gift certificate to their shop. I have some really nice Vertex bags that are a couple hundred bucks that are concealment bags. We have some Ear Pro and Eye Pro that are very expensive. We have training that we're giving away. It is going to be one heck of an event. And so, of course, Lily Tang Williams will be there. You know, she's such an amazing person. And we're also having a two-way social with a lot of like-minded individuals. We wanted to do this because we want people to remember the importance of why we're fighting so hard. We need to, you know, send some freedom seeds downrange with some amazing guns, give people those experiences, and mingle with like-minded individuals and kind of build morale. So come out. The tickets are on sale. You can go to my website, thesecondsyndicate.com. There's a link on our events page that you can go there, or just go to Eventbrite and you can search for Lily Tang Williams and you'll find that event. We also have an event on Sunday in Colorado Springs. If Lakewood's too far for you, you can go to our Staccato Range Day. You can call Spartan Defense's shop, or you can go on Eventbrite as well and go to the Spartan Defense Eventbrite and just or Google Staccato Eventbrite. Staccatos are like the Porsches of firearms. They're handguns. They're amazing. I carry one. They're a fantastic firearm, and you could shoot their entire lineup for like $35, courtesy of Spartan Defense. So we have some really, really amazing events going on this weekend, and we'd appreciate your support and coming out and, you know, remembering the beauty of the freedom that we're fighting for in the first place.
Well, that's important because it's our responsibility to take care of ourselves as citizens, and the criminals aren't going to abide by our laws, but free individuals will. And it just seems that the Gold Dome doesn't get that. There's so many bills that you mentioned at the outset. House Bill 25-1133 would raise the minimum purchasing age for ammunition to 21. And you think, well, somebody can go to war at 18. Why are they putting this in? And if you don't train young people to how to use a firearm early, you're going to have a lot more problems, I think, in the belief that they're more harmful. You can get a license for a car and take out a whole community at a parade. But, you know, this idea that the bullets are going to hurt people as opposed to having the training, the mindset that you have a responsibility both with a vehicle and with a firearm.
Well, we as people, and, you know, when you're young, you have the ability of neuroplasticity as a child. The sooner you learn something in your youth, the more adept you become, the more versed you are, and the easier it is to learn. I learned how to shoot guns when I was a tiny little gal with my father. It's been a skill set that I've had my whole life, and it's been very easy. And I think we're robbing our youth of that ability. We're thinking that they don't have the concepts or the mindset to be able to handle firearms at a young age, and that's absolutely not true. That's a misconception that has been indoctrinated by the left as one of their tactics to say, hey, you know what? These things are not for kids. Children have a right to stay alive also. And when you raise children with discipline and respect, my business partners they own a gun shop. They have young kids in their homes all the time, and they know exactly what guns are. They know exactly not to touch them. And there's many studies that have been put out that I have watched and been a part of where they put groups of young kids in rooms with fake guns and observe them, and it's always the children that don't have gun safety knowledge and don't have exposure to firearms that touch those guns and bad things happen. Education is the key to change, and we need to encourage our community to go out and get educated and exercise this right and embrace this culture, because that's what they're wanting to take away from us. They're demonizing firearms rather than encouraging training. And one of the things that you just said about, you know, 1133 about raising the age to purchase ammunition. One of the issues that not only access to ammunition, but this FOID card of having affixed magazines to firearms, they're actually making firearms more dangerous by not allowing training. If you want to learn how to use a firearm correctly, you have to train. You need ammunition to do that. You need to be able to make a gun safe. You need to be able to drop a magazine out and clear the chamber on a firearm if you have a malfunction. And if you have a firearm that you can't do that with, what are you going to do? You're going to make it more unsafe for somebody to handle. And when you buy a firearm in a gun shop across the state, what's the one thing that comes with every firearm? A lock. And it is fed through a magazine to go through the chamber to be able to lock that gun to make it secure, so unauthorized people, when left unattended or, you know, put away in a safe, are not supposed to be able to use that firearm. And this is an ideology that the left imposed. But when you have an affixed magazine, How are you supposed to make that firearm secure and safe? How are you supposed to clear malfunctions? How are you supposed to ensure that that gun is clear for safe handling? You can't. But you see that these laws are being created by people who have no experience with firearms. They're just imposing their will on others with ignorance and bias.
Exactly. Well, you know, Lisa, you have so much good information, and I appreciate your time today. How would you like to wrap this up?
I just want to say thank you to everyone out there who's tuned in, and obviously to you and Kim for supporting us. You're welcome to follow me and follow my company, The Second Syndicate. We have a show on YouTube, on our YouTube channel, at Spartan Defense Armory. You can follow me on X platform, at Boomstick Babe. You can follow my other company, at The Second Syndicate, and support us. We're raising funds. You don't have to be present to win at these events on Saturday. Buy a ticket. It goes to donate to us. You can donate to us on Give, Send, Go. We're becoming a 4C, so right. We can start lobbying and creating more of an environment in Colorado with better politicians and people that are pro-2A. So we are a nonpartisan pro-2A organization that wants to protect the right to self-defense, and we welcome everybody in the community.
Well, Alicia, thank you, and we appreciate your support of the Second Amendment and your time today. Thanks for joining us on the Kim Munson Show.
Thank you.
My pleasure. And folks, for the end of the show quote, I'd like to bring up Dr. Orison Swett Martin, who was an American inspirational author. He wrote about achieving success in Success magazine back in 1897, and he published many books. In his book, He Who Thinks He Can, written in 1908, quote, "Every child should be taught to expect success." And I think whether it's firearm safety and owning a firearm, or if it's educating your children in books in the library as they're fighting in Elizabeth, we all have a responsibility to get involved and have our voice heard. So today, be grateful, read great books, think great thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideas, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. And I wanted to say thank you to Joe and for Kim for giving me this opportunity today. It's always a pleasure to be here. You are not alone, and I'd like to just remind everybody to have a beautiful day. God bless you, and God bless America. And go out in there and be successful, do great things. And if you have the opportunity, go out and learn of gun safety and get involved with the Second Amendment and our First Amendment with rights, especially down in Elizabeth where they need your help. And I'm stalling because Joe's saying, stretch it. Thanks for being here and have a great weekend.
Expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.